from all of our online students and the students on Roku. What can we say to these things? Huh? Yeah, I know we're in this class catching the waves of revival. Catch what I'm telling you. We smack dab on the brink of righting all of the wrongs. Y'all better hear what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 55. I'm not going to pray because I'm just going to get right in what I got to do. Because, you know, this what I'm going to teach you is catching the waves of revival. And so we're right smack dab in the middle of. Apostle already prayed. Is this prayer good enough for this class? I'm functioning from apostolic grace, the grace that's upon his life. So we're right smack dab in what I believe is going to literally change the entire landscape of the body of Christ. As I said, I'm 55 years old, and I can pretty much say I've been operating. I was born again, but I've been pushing the law of Moses. Well, that's okay. I'm talking about me. I understand that about you. But since I found out that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, I believe I'm called to be a pusher of grace and truth. And so I thank God for Apostle Thompson. I thank God for the call to be an apostle, and I thank God for the apostolic call, where he's training men and women to step off and operate from an apostolic anointing that brings and brings forth fresh revelation. Now, one of the jobs of an apostle is to bring us back to God's original plan, God's original intent. May I submit unto you, grace is not just found in the New Testament, baby. God was trying to point from the old all the way through. Old Testament was type and shadow. You know, Noah found grace. Come on, somebody. Noah found what?
Grace.
And it was through grace that everything was saved. Come on, talk to me. Come on, man. It was just a type of Christ. It was just a type of grace and truth coming. Come on, somebody. Hello. It was a type of getting in Christ. Y'all read, y'all say. You know, then the Bible says, by faith, Noah. So, grace and faith go together. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is, and that's out of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So we want to be pushing that as we think about catching the waves of revival. What I'm going to be teaching you tonight comes out of introduction in chapter 1. I just asked you to read those. You may not be able to follow me because I'm not going to call what page number I'm on. So just listen intensively because we have a very short time to accomplish a lot. Revival is seen as the breaking forth of heaven's fire on the earth. That's what a revival is seen as. Put it another way. Revival is seen as bringing heaven to earth. That's what true revival is all about. As I said, the whole paradigm of the church has to change. We're not trying to go to heaven. That's never been God's mission for the church. The Bible says Jesus is the head of the church, which is his body. Huh? The church is his body. The head is resting. The head is taking a position that's finished. But he left his body here. And he said, now you go and accomplish everything on earth that I've already finished. Y'all listening? So revival is seen as what? Breaking forth of heaven's fire on the earth. It breaks the effects and the influences of hell's fire on the earth. That's what revival does. And it establishes God's kingdom government here on earth. Here on earth. Not when we get to heaven. So we didn't give all in heaven so when we get to heaven. No, we're going to heaven right there. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to walk nowhere walking around heaven all day. We're going to bring heaven to earth and do what God said. Y'all listening to me? So notice, it's to establish God's kingdom government. Now remember, God's kingdom government begins with the gift that Jesus gave to the church. The first apostle. Come on. So ain't nothing getting done in the earth realm if God ain't talking to his holy apostle and his holy prophet. Are you listening? Then we have the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. That's grace all over again. The number for grace is, and he gave us the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. Those five ministry offices represent Jesus Christ in the earth realm. Now watch what I'm about to tell you. And they are supposed to be teaching us how to live by grace and truth. So if we don't get it, you can't get it. You understand that? You know, it's one thing to preach grace, but it's, you know, all about the transitioning. That's one thing I love about Tyler and Apostle. I'll never forget the first time we connected to him, he said, I'm going to take your places that you never would have went. Are you listening? That's not just talking about Chicago and Cincinnati. That's some of the places in God that you would never have gotten except you got connected to the grace of God that's operating in my life. All right? Now, God cannot reveal himself unless men have prepared themselves in accordance to his revealed word. That's how you prepare for revival. All right? And, you know, as you read the introduction, you will find out there are two paradigms. There are people waiting on God to do stuff. Come on now. All y'all, come on. All y'all, I know y'all have no coaching people in here, but I can hear them. I can hear them sisters praying right now. I can hear them brothers praying right now. Y'all know what I'm about to say. Lord, we waiting on you. If you don't move, Jesus, ain't nothing going to get done. And God's going to say, David, what they doing? They just told me and I done finished all of the work from the foundation of the world. They're walking in the finish line. What the heck do you want me to do? I'm finished. I'm serious. I told them to go. They're still calling me back. Come on, y'all know y'all have heard them prayer. Come on, how many of y'all heard it? Y'all know that church, Mother Long? We waiting on you. Some of y'all still come to Jesus, I'm waiting on you. No, God ain't got time for that. You know, in this paradigm of apostolic government and apostolic teaching, we are to prepare ourselves, prepare our hearts, so God can usher in revival through us. Because God cannot do anything in the earth realm except he flows and moves through someone. So the purpose of revival is to bring heaven fire on the earth so we can change our city and change our state. Not by the law, but by. Come on now, but by. All right, y'all got that? Now, most people believe we will have to wait for revival. Because it is a sovereign act that only God can do. Only God can determine when it's going to happen. That's the wrong thing. No. Wrong mindset. God is the God of the N-O-W. Now. Everything God is doing is now. Your future is now. Your present is now. Your past is now. Because we serve a now God. When is God ready for revival? Right now. So that's what this school is about. Preparation. So the end time revival, we'll have it all. The money and the power. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Okay, now watch this. The stages of revival, as unfolded in this book, can help us to prepare our churches to walk into the spirit of revival before it breaks upon us in full scale. Let's join the sons of Issachar in ushering in this revival. Now, you know anything about the sons of Issachar? They were people who understood the time and the seasons, and they knew what Israel should be. That's why I don't believe nothing sneak up on the church. I don't believe that. Oh, no. I don't believe nothing sneak up on the church. God is the God of the future, the present, and the past. He knows the end from the beginning. So all many things are just fear tactics to get us off our game. We don't have to be afraid of nothing. We not only win, we have won. You see that? Y'all with me? All right. Now, let's join the sons of Issachar and learn to discern what Israel should do at such a time as this. Y'all got it? Now, to know how and what to do is an important prophetic insight. and perception we need to have. So we need to know what? We need to know what to do. We need to have insight. Y'all understand that? All that has to do with what? Preparation. The apostolic teachings and the procedures that's outlined in that book, Catching the Wave by Apostle Jonathan David, will help the church to work out their own soul salvation and come into their inheritance. This is what it's all about. Walking in the inheritance that God has given us. Now, the key of the kingdom is given to a matured church. A mature church. Now, watch what I'm about to say. As long as we operate under the law, we're immature. Because we need ritual, we need rules, and we need regulations. Y'all know, let's be honest, black people. Now, if you are online, Roku, you might be Caucasian or from somebody else, but black people know exactly what I'm talking about. But we've been taught to be slaves all our little lives. And we don't want it. Come on, talk to me. Our parents told us, you got to earn this, baby. You got to work everything in life. No, nothing for free, baby. No, some of us still government operating like that with this. No, this is not for free. Well, Bible ain't for free. Oh, no, baby. You got to pay a call. Amen. But the keys of the kingdom is given to a mature church, not an immature one who will squander their inheritance. Are you listening to me? The more I look and study at grace, grace is an empowerment. Yeah. Isn't it weak? It's powerful. Because, you know, Apostle, as he was sharing, we don't need to suppress stuff. We need to get free from it. Suppression is the behavior you'll change. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Now, you say, why are you sharing all that? Apostle just told us that. Because we're catching the wave. We got another wind blowing in here called grace. All right? Now, chapter 1, revival, a divine attack on society. What is revival? A divine attack on society. Now, let's talk about this. The world expects us to condemn them. But our message now, we have to change. Our message is not to send folks to hell and condemn them. Our message is to let people know, God, what, baby? You've been freed already. You don't have to be condemned. All the world up, if you could change anything you're doing and come to Christ, you wouldn't need it. Praise God. Are you free yet? All right. Christians who learn from revival history will be compelled to repeat it. Now, y'all know that's a true statement. Any lesson that we don't learn previously, we are compelled to repeat it. And lessons that we have learned, amen, get somebody to impart it to us. That's why the Bible says, Paul said, the stuff you've seen in me, the stuff you've learned from me, that do. Don't need to be trying to reinvent this wheel. All right? Now, we cannot boldly go where no man has gone before unless we first know where we really are. And what we and where we have come from. All right, so what that means about revival, you know, we talking about where we're going. You can't go nowhere if you don't know where you're at. You know, so the first law is location. When you want to go somewhere, huh? You can't call up somebody, say, I want to go to California. Where you at? I don't know. Well, you're not going to go nowhere too far. Because if you don't know where you are, you cannot be directed. Y'all follow what I'm saying? You cannot be instructed. All right? You with me? So far? All right. The closest biblical word to revival is revive or reviving from the Hebrew word chaya. I'm not a Hebrew scholar. I'm just reading what's here. Thank you for your enthusiasm, all of you Hebrew scholars. It's a primitive root meaning to live. It means what? To live. So when we start talking about revival, baby, we're talking about teaching people how to live, not die and go to heaven. This word is also translated in Strong's Concordance as nourish up, to preserve alive, to quicken, which means to make alive, to restore, to save alive, and to make whole. Sound like to me, revival talks about salvation. Are you with me? That just means I have 5 more minutes. Now, there's no grace when it comes to this, you know, minutes on this clock. Y'all understand that. Huh? Y'all know we take grace a little bit. Okay. See, if I go over that time, I'm going to need some grace. Okay. All right. Now, the first 4 times, this word is translated, revived, in the King James Version of the Bible. It deals with 4 increasing levels of death. 4 increasing levels of death. Now, in Genesis 45:27, it reveals that Jacob's flickering hope was realized when he saw Joseph's wagon. All right, let's read it. Genesis 45:27. And they told him all the words of Joseph, referring to his father, Jacob, which he said unto them. And when Jacob saw the wagon which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. Now, y'all know the story about Joseph. That was his favorite child. Come on, somebody. It was his favorite. And then somebody did that. Grace was up on Joseph. Because Joseph was a type of Christ. For the law came back, Moses, but grace and truth came back, Jesus Christ. I submit unto you that Joseph is an exact replica of Christ when you follow his life. And follow him. When he was rebuked, he didn't turn back. Come on, somebody. He went from prison house to prison house. I can't get my hope up in here. So, when Jacob, who was longing to see his son, thought he was dead. Now they're telling him he's alive. He's caught between two worlds. Can I believe this? Is this true? I've been around him for so long. He left when he was 16. And now you're telling me my son is alive? Well, guess what? His spirit had literally died in him. He heard the words, but the words wasn't enough. Y'all ready for what I'm about to tell you? God does not come in word only. God said, my gospel didn't come to you in word only, but it comes in power. I want you to know when Jacob saw those wagons, say manifestation. See, manifestation will cause your spirit to rise up. So his spirit was revived in him. Come on, somebody. I love you, baby. Let him go. I'll leave this land to go see my son. Come on, say amen. Amen. So notice, it talks about 4 increasing levels of death. That was one. He wasn't dead, but his spirit was revived in him. Y'all ever heard the scripture? Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Huh? Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. Y'all wanna know what that means? See, so people can keep making promises, and that's what we've been doing with the gospel. God gonna do this, God gonna do that, God gonna. So we got wait and gonna, which make us gonna wait. And God said, no, I already did that. Y'all ready for what I'm about to tell y'all? Revival ain't coming. Revival is here, baby. And I believe church is going to get popped out because this way of revival is going to revive God's people. For the first time in the history of the church, I believe God's people under the New Testament are going to be free from laws and rules and regulations and bondages and stuff that has kept us away from the promises of God. So, revival starts from that small flickering hope. It's a conviction that one day we will see the glory and the power of our God. Revival breaks forth from a hope that does not disappoint. does not disappoint. That's why God, listen to me. God never makes a promise that he has not already fulfilled. The minute he opened up his mouth, done. Not gonna, done. God, done. Once God speaks over, that's the now of God. So when God makes you a promise, he tells you, I already did it for you. You got to look like I did it every day. And I'm stopping right now.